to the establishment's lies. Welcome to the war room, Owen Schroyer.
All right, third and final hour here. You know, I was hoping to have time for calls, but we still got a ton of news and video clips. So I'm not sure we'll be able to. We'll try to get through this as quickly as possible. The aid money for the fire, the California fires, folks, $100 million. Where did it go? People are wondering. Listen to this local report in clip 20.
Go. Investigative journalist Sue Pasco has been digging for answers, and what she's discovered might just surprise you. And Sue Pasco, she joins me now live on set. You are the editor of Circling the News.
Yes,
we can clearly see that. Thanks for the work that you're doing. So this is personal and professional for you because you lost your home in the Palisades fire, but that's not necessarily how this story landed in your lap. How did this all come to be?
A reader sent me a little note and said, I've never seen any fire aid money. How do I apply for fire aid money? And I thought, well, you know, I've never thought about that. There's 12,000 people, basically, 12,000 homes gone. Those people probably want to know where the money is. This will be an easy task to find out. Mm-hmm. So I contacted the Annenberg. They never responded.
And the Annenberg is
Foundation, because they are overseeing the wildfire funds, yes. So I emailed them several times. They never responded. I called them several times. They never responded. And finally, it was like almost 2 weeks later, a woman got back to me and she said, oh, I'm sorry for the delay. The person you need to speak to is Chris Wallace. He's a media spokesperson for wildfire funds. So I contacted Chris and I said, you know, victims want to know when they can get their money. Seems like a very simple question. Mm-hmm. He said, basically, they don't. All this money are going to nonprofits, and then nonprofits will take care of making sure the money's distributed. So I looked at initially they gave $50 million to about 120 nonprofits, and I looked at these nonprofits, and one of them said, we help mobile home parks. And there were two mobile home parks in the Palisades, all low income. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I contacted the people there. They had never received any money. They had never heard of that. When you go through, I would urge everyone to just go to the nonprofits that are listed. If you want a good laugh, I mean, one of the nonprofits cleans preschool bathrooms. Well, after the fire, who knows? Maybe there is a preschool bathroom that needs cleaning.
Yeah. In other words, a lot of these nonprofits are ancillary, if you will.
That's a nice way of saying it.
And you urge people, our viewers, they can go on the Fire Aid website. And yes, in terms of if you're Fire Aid, you can say, we have listed all the nonprofits. So they've given out $75 million so far. And you can see for yourself each nonprofit that has received money. The vetting process, though, that's an interesting angle to this story as well, because there's still another round of funding that will be given out. If you're a nonprofit, you would just have to fill out a simple, very simple questionnaire.
Six questions. Uh-huh.
So what do you make of the vetting process?
I think they're not helping the victims at all. Let's just say, and the other thing you should know, if you go on there, they don't say how much each individual nonprofit gets. So there are two nonprofits that are for the homeless people in the Palisades, Los Angeles in general, that they're getting money from LASA. So why are these nonprofits also getting money from Fire Aid? I don't know. They're homeless nonprofits. Of course, we're all homeless now. But
And to be clear, we have reached out to actually the Attorney General, Rob Bonta, to see if this is on his radar, because this is a whole lot of money and you are well connected in your community and you don't know anybody who has received fire aid money.
That's correct.
Is your advice if you're a victim, and there are several who are probably watching tonight who lost their home like yourself, where do you go from here?
Hopefully with people like you who are bringing it to the attention of America, really, because we have all these people I know in the Midwest where I'm from who said, we want to give money. Where do we give it? How can we help the people?
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday, the 29th, to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at theyellowshowstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only three or four of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect. But most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Okay, final hour here. We still got tons of news. This is a wild statement from the HHS and Secretary Kennedy. I'm going to read both statements. First, the HHS. Actually, you know what, guys? This one is cut off for me, so I'll do Kennedy's statement first, and then if you guys can give me the full statement from the HHS. HHS finds systemic disregard for sanctity of life in organ transplant system. This was another conspiracy theory that they would let you die if you were an organ donor to get that organ and even harvest you. So Kennedy says, our findings show that hospitals allowed the organ procurement process to begin when patients showed signs of life, and this is horrifying. The organ procurement organizations that coordinate access to transplants will be held accountable. The entire system must be fixed to ensure that every potential donor's life is treated with the sanctity it deserves. And so HHS said, it's restoring integrity and transparency to organ procurement and transplant policy by putting patients' lives first. These reforms are essential to restoring trust, ensuring informed consent, and protecting the rights and dignity of prospective donors and their families. So they were organ harvesting. Conspiracy theorists win again. Now, isn't this just a sign, a symptom of how corrupt our government has become? You think about something that can be so pure, so good, that you're like, there's nothing that can come of this except good. Organ donors. In other words, when you pass and you don't need your organs anymore, but they're still viable for someone else that might, you donate an organ. And you save a life. It's just like, it's just so good. Like, wow, what a beautiful concept. In death, you can save someone's life. And then what do we get? We get a bunch of sick, corrupt creeps that turn it into an organ harvesting program. And even the institutions are involved in it. Unbelievable. It's just like, that's how broken our government is. That's how broken and corrupted our society is. And just let it happen. And they knew it. I mean, it's just like, how do you even, you can't even put it into words. Out of the goodness of your heart, you say, I'm going to be an organ donor, and maybe when I die, I'll save someone's life. What a great thing. And it's like, oh, well, you go to a trip to the hospital and you could probably survive it. But they see you're an organ donor and they say, hey, maybe we let this guy go. You know what I mean? Harvest those organs. It's just like, oh, my God, what evil. and they'll harvest baby parts. Oh, crazy. That's what we put up with. And we're sick of putting up with it. We want it to come to an end. So good for RFK Jr. on that issue. Man, you know, I got all these video clips. They're kind of just sparsed out. How about this one? Pam Bondi and Doug Burgum go to Alcatraz. This is the one off the California coast. Folks, look, I don't know how. Pam Bondi is just a complete joke. I don't know what else to say. And it feels bad. It's kind of sad because she does seem like a nice woman. But you know what? You get involved in the government and you act like a clown. I'm going to call you a freaking clown, okay? And it's almost like even you look at Musk, and I don't know. I could sit here and say, okay, I will accept with 100% certainty that Musk's technology will be used against us. I will accept with 100% certainty that the future of the world with brain chips and AI and all of this stuff is going to be a world that I don't want to go into. So it's like I can accept that with 100% certainty. But you don't live in the future. So I can sit here and say, okay, this technology, and it's not just Musk. I'm just using this as an example to talk about integrity. I could say, yeah, where this guy is taking us with the future in technology, I don't like that. But right now, this guy's destroying my enemies. So it's like a survival thing. It's like you could be in a lava pit, and if you don't get out of that lava pit right now, you're going to die. And then somebody says, well, hey, if you get out of the lava pit, you're going into the forest. And there's animals in there, lions and bears. They're going to eat you. It's like, well, you know what? I'm going to die in this lava pit. So, yeah, I'll go into the forest, and I'm probably going to deal with bears and tigers and stuff that want to eat me. But I'm dead if I stay in this lava pit. So I'm going to go ahead and get out of this lava pit, and I'm going to go into the woods, and then we'll deal with that. So it's like, yeah, I know, okay, maybe the stuff that Musk is developing here will be used against me and we're going to be fighting robots, AI takeover, all that stuff. But right now, it's like Musk is trying to get us out of the current lava pit that we're in politically that will destroy us too. It's like, here's Musk who comes out and says, okay, you didn't do the Doge stuff. You're not doing the Epstein stuff. And really, this is hurting himself potentially. His own business deals, his own government contracts, his own, now he gets attacked by Trump and MAGA. But he just sees it and he says, hey, I might like Donald Trump. I've developed a personal relationship with Donald Trump and his family and everything was great. But the truth is you're not getting Doge cuts and you're not getting the Epstein list. And here's why. So you say, okay. Well, it's like the same with Pam Bondi. It's like, you know what? She seems like a really nice person. I met her. Very nice. Very sweet girl. But as Attorney General, you're a joke. Sorry. But here's the latest example. So she goes to Alcatraz with Doug Burgum. And I guess Trump is telling her that he wants to turn Alcatraz, he wants to rejuvenate Alcatraz. Alcatraz has been a shut down tourist site since when, guys? Like 1992 or something? Before that even? I mean, we're talking decades. So Bondi goes there, and her idea is she's going to rejuvenate Alcatraz. And so she does an interview, and she's got Doug Burgum standing next to her, and Doug knows what's going on. Folks, you're not... The only way you're going to do anything with Alcatraz is by tearing the entire thing down. So it's not even going to be worth it. It's not even worth it. But it's like, oh, it's all these grandiose ideas. Like, hey, we're going to reevaluate Alcatraz. Oh, we're going to have alligator Alcatraz. It's just like, it's all this... it's like, whatever, it's fun and it serves a purpose, but it's just, it's all so just superficial. So it's been shut down since 63, and then when did they open up for tours? Point is, folks, we're talking this thing is it's an antique. It's like going to a junkyard and seeing a car from 1963 that doesn't even have an engine block. And you're like, "Oh, I'm going to drive that off the lot." It's like, "Are you an idiot?" So they started doing tours in 73. It's been a tourist site since 73. I mean, folks, the thing is barely, it's almost on the, it's like it needs to be condemned. So Bondi tells the media, though, she's going to rejuvenate it. And Burgum is standing next to her like, "Oh my gosh." And you can see it in his eyes. He's like, "Oh, she's not actually saying that right now, is she? Oh my God, she is. Oh my God, she's saying it." So here's Pam Bondi telling, it had to be Fox News, right, guys? It was Fox News? Yeah, it was Fox News. Did you guys get my timestamp? It looks like we didn't start it at the right time. Yeah, just go a little bit further here. Yeah, okay, yeah. So there you go, right there. It's just like Pam will literally just say crap to the cameras. Is what I'm looking at this now. It's like, "Oh yeah, Epstein files. Oh no, no Epstein files. Oh yeah, a bunch of videos. Oh yeah, evidence. Oh no, there's nothing there. Oh yeah," she just says whatever. She's like, "Oh. Yeah, sure. Oh." So now she's telling Fox News they're going to rejuvenate Alcatraz. And Burgum standing next to her like, "This woman has lost her mind." Go ahead, play the clip.
President Trump was the master builder in our country of construction, and he's been talking to construction companies who think they can come in here and fix this and fix it up in the way it should be and really try to restore it to its original capacity and save Alcatraz.
I mean, folks, this is a joke. It's just a joke. Save Alcatraz. It's a rust bucket. But that's what Pam Bondi's turned into. She's just a yes woman. Trump says he wants to redo Alcatraz. So Pam Bondi goes there into a rust bucket that needs to be condemned. And she says, "Oh, yeah, we're going to bring in the builders. And then we're so great at building. It's going to be fantastic." No, you're not. Nobody's rebuilding Alcatraz. It's a beyond a superficial endeavor. But it's just, that's it. Trump says, hey Pam, go tell everybody we're rebuilding Alcatraz. Well, that's not realistic. I don't care. Just go say it. Okay. Pam, go tell people there's no Epstein files. Okay. Pam, go tell people you're going to release the Epstein files. Okay. She is an embarrassment. And you could see it on Burgum's face there. He's like, "Oh my gosh." But I guess it's better than this. I guess if we got, here's a reminder. You want to hear all about Obama? How about Biden? Let's just a little reminder. At least we don't remember Joe Biden. At least we don't have this. Clip 5.
You got the vaccination?
Yeah.
Are you okay? I mean, you seem, no, it works. Or you know, or the mom and dad, or the neighbor, or when you go to church, or when you're, you know, no, I really mean it. There are trusted interlocutors. Think of the people. If your kid wanted to find out whether or not there's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not.
Aliens? By the way, what happened to all the aliens? What happened to the UFO disclosures? It's almost like people don't even care anymore. Remember all that? We had the UFOs and the aerial phenomena and aliens. It's like every once in a while they throw that out there for a talking point and then just nothing ever comes of it. What's up with that? Meanwhile, Thomas Massie emerges from the Capitol with Epstein Phase 2 binders. Obviously a troll of Pam Bondi. But here he is talking to the press that saw it in clip 13.
I was wondering, with the paralysis in the Rules Committee, it seems like they're not going to be meeting again today because of the Epstein amendments. Mm-hmm. Have you chatted with anybody about that at this point?
Well, it wouldn't really matter. Their Epstein bill resolution is non-binding, so it's kind of fake. The resolution that I have co-sponsored with Ro Khanna would actually bring up legislation that would be binding on the president.
Is your understanding that that will ripen the day after lawmakers get back from August recess?
Yeah, unfortunately, we have 6 days and we needed 7 days for the discharge petition to ripen before we could bring this up before the August recess. So we'll have to bring it up after the August recess. But the good news is, the speaker has no interest in keeping us here one extra day.
So there's multiple strategic layers of covering this up, folks. And you just heard other little angles there from Massey. It's like, oh, well, they brought this kind of fake resolution that's non-binding, and oh, they're going to shut down Congress a day early so that we can't get this real resolution through. It's crazy. And then Trump continues to just attack Massey relentlessly. So, you know, because Lindsey Graham is the good guy. Lindsey Graham, let's see, Liberty Score, Conservative Review. Lindsey Graham, his Liberty Score is an F. He gets a 43% from the Conservative Review's Liberty Score. Thomas Massey, an A, 96%. Wow. How about that? But Trump endorses Lindsey Graham, and Trump wants to primary Thomas Massey. I look at this stuff, and I almost can't even believe it, because it's so nonsensical. So you just can't help but think about all the different angles. And I don't actually believe this, but it's like, I don't even believe anything right now. Like, why would Trump turn on Musk? Why would Trump turn on Massey? Like, these are the guys. Like, these are our guys. Is that Trump trying to put attention on Musk and Massey so that what they're going to do next is going to be bigger? Or has really just Trump decided he's going to roll with the deep state, roll with the rhinos? Or is he even in control anymore? It's like, how does this make any sense? How do you go with Lindsey Graham and attack Thomas Massey? How do you throw Elon Musk out? It's crazy. Alan Dershowitz, how did he meet Jeffrey Epstein? This is an interesting admission from Dershowitz in clip 4. Clip 4.
So I did absolutely, categorically nothing wrong. And, you know, that's what lawyers do and that's what people do. I was introduced to him by the lady in Lord Rothschild.
Wow.
And I was told, yeah, you know, he knew all the most prominent people.
Introduced by Lady and Lord Rothschild, he knew all the most prominent people. That's a hoax, guys. It's all a hoax. Senate Majority Leader John Thune supports full disclosure of Epstein files. By the way, this was an article from Dershowitz. He was at Harvard Law at the time. I believe this was New York Times, 1996, I believe. Statutory rape is an outdated concept. If a 16-year-old can choose abortion, she should be able to choose to have sex. Ah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure that has nothing to do with nothing. Nothing to see here. What did Claire Danes, famous American actress, one of the greats, really, what did she mean when she said this to Stephen Colbert before he abruptly cuts her off? Sending actors to spy camp? What's that? Clip 6?
Spy camp for us producers and writers. And
really?
Yeah.
Is it like, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, so we park ourselves in a club in Georgetown and talk to, like, real spooks. And, you know, people in the intelligence community and the State Department and journalists and people who really...
What do they tell you that, like, what's the most surprising thing that they've told you about their jobs or something you would need to know from
Well, every year it's different, right? We've been at it for a while, and the climate has changed. But this year it was all about, you know, the distrust between the administration and the intelligence world, and the intelligence community was suddenly kind of allying itself with journalists, which usually they're not.
How long ago did you start shooting this this season?
Hmm. Stop talking about the spy cam. But of course, it's well known they use famous actors as honeypots and intelligence assets. So, but you know, it's all just a hoax. Don't look into any of that. But this is the deep state, folks. It's the intelligence agencies. That's the real deep state that nobody elects and stays in power and remains with the centralized control. And that's why the Epstein thing is so big. Because it's at the heart of the deep state and how the intelligence networks run everything. And presidents come and go, and you get some left politics, you get some right politics, you get some policy, you get some new policy. And that's what remains the same. The intelligence communities running it all. The military-industrial complex running it all. This is at the heart of the deep state. This is why we want it stopped. And this is why when you continue the wars and the funding of the wars in the Middle East and in Ukraine, that's deep state activity. When you say nothing to see with Epstein, it's a hoax, that's deep state activity. And you're not going to be able to shut this down. It's only going to get bigger. Fox News doesn't have the power to shut this down. Mark Levin doesn't have the magical power. Ben Shapiro doesn't have the magical power to shut this down. Not even Donald Trump has the power to shut this down, despite the desperate attempts. So it's not going anywhere, which is getting obnoxious, to be honest. It's getting quite obnoxious. But hey, we're riding with Lindsey Graham now. This was Lindsey Graham in 2016 with John McCain and Amy Klobuchar. This is who Trump's riding with. Remember Lindsey Graham 2016, guys? Go ahead.
We're going to go back and tell our colleagues what Russia's up to and the Baltics, what they're doing in the Ukraine. We're going to get briefed about Georgia. We hope to make 2017 a year of offense. We believe that Putin has hacked into our elections in America, that he's trying to undermine democracy all over the world, and it's time for new sanctions to hit him hard as an individual, his energy sector, his banking sector. It is time to push back against Putin, but be a better friend to our allies over here, including Georgia.
This is a very important trip. We just left Ukraine.
There's Lindsey Graham supporting fake Russian collusion. Supporting that narrative and already building up for the new funding for Ukraine. That's you ride with Trump, you ride with Lindsey Graham now. Gross. You see Trump pull up in a Mercedes-Benz SUV, tinted windows, rolls his window down. He says, "Hey, buddy, let's go have some fun. You want to ride?" You say, "Oh, it's Donald Trump. That looks pretty fun. Yeah, I think I will." And then you approach the vehicle, the back window rolls down, and it's Lindsey Graham. You're like, whoa. Whoa. He's in there? Like, yeah, that's Lindsey. You don't like Lindsey? Yeah, not too sure. And then another window rolls down. It's Mark Levin. You're like, oh, Donald, I don't, yeah. I'm sorry, Donald, I can't get in the car. What's wrong? You don't like Mark Levin and Lindsey Graham? These guys are great. These guys are MAGA. Come on.
Ladies and gentlemen, James O'Keefe was here in studio last week. He was on the last hour, and I forgot to give him methylene blue until the last 30 minutes, but he was going on Owen. So I asked him on air, take it now, I'm not going to say what it does, and tell us honestly what your response is. And it was, quite frankly, pretty amazing. So the crew just reminded me that James O'Keefe has not tried methylene blue, or they asked me to ask him. He has it, doesn't know what it is, but he's so nice and trusting, he just took it. It's actually cyanide, James. No, 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 seriously.
Trying to poison me.
It usually, I'm joking, you know, it's really good for you. It takes 30 minutes to hit. It's not a stimulant, but it creates mitochondrial function and skips the oxidative process two levels or three levels in the cells. It usually takes 30 minutes to hit. You're on Owen at 4. Just please, Owen, talk to Owen. Ask if it hit you, what you felt. And if you didn't, we're going to put it on air, and you'll be the only guest that hasn't. So slam the rest of your medicine.
You got it.
So you're asking what the methylene blue is. It is something RMK Jr. pushes. It's something I've known about for years. But we've got the best, and it is amazing what it does to your body.
All right. I'm looking forward to that.
Sometimes it hits in 15 minutes. You got to let us know what you feel.
Wait. I've been drinking it for about 10 minutes, so we'll see.
You just started drinking it about 2 minutes ago.
I finished the rest of it.
20 minutes later.
I just took it. I took a lot of it, and I would say it was the effect on me was light sensations. It was increased light perception. That's what happened to me.
The pixels of the world around you, of the simulation,
enhanced a little bit? Enhancing my eyes when a light, and I woke away, just a bit of enhancement perception there.
But then after he talked about his eyesight getting clearer, I got reminded by the crew that I've had callers about this effect, and there's actually medical literature out there.
I've got glaucoma. My vision has been crap for the last 20 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's perfect now.
What?
Yeah.
How long have you been taking methylene blue?
5 days. After 3 days, perfect vision.
No kidding.
Depth perception's back, and I don't have to hold my phone at my hip to read it.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, man.
This stuff is crazy amazing, and the medical research shows that.
It clears the brain fog, where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah! I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
This stuff kicked in, and it like instantly, I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
But whatever you do, do your own research, talk to your physician, and then get the very best medical-grade Methylene Blue supplement out there at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a limited-time sale until next Tuesday, the 29th, where you get one bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com and get a second bottle free right now. The limited time offer at thealexjonesstore.com. Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
You get taxed on what you own, you get taxed on what you buy, and you get taxed on what you own. Taxes, taxes, taxes. You know, and then what does it get spent on? A bunch of the stuff it gets spent on you don't even agree with. So, you know, that's why we need to reduce the size of government. And just spend less money and let the people keep a lot more of their hard-earned money. Yeah, so.
Yeah, pretty simple. Pretty commonsensical. Should be mainstream conservatism. What happened? All right, final segment here. We're not going to have time for calls. I got way too much news on my desk here, so
I do want to open up the phone lines eventually this week through two days. We haven't been able to do it, but we'll maybe be able to do it tomorrow because I just love to hear from the audience on all this. It's a good sounding board to just see where people are at. And I don't want to think I live in a bubble where everybody agrees with me, but it's just like, it's almost like I'm looking for resistance and I'm just not finding it except from Washington, D.C. Like, I have these conversations in my social circles, have these conversations with my followers on X, my crew. It's just like everybody seems to be in the same direction, the same thought process. It's like I open phone lines, I go to talk radio. It's like I can't find the resistance except from the White House, from D.C. So, but I want to get to this geopolitical news here, some of this other news. We may have to put off the economy news again, as the stack is just building up, but it remains relevant. Folks, please continue to support us by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, we have the buy one, get one free bombshell sale happening this week and this week only. Buy one, get one free methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. Unleash your inner warrior with the buy one, get one bombshell sale happening right now, this week only, while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com. Grab a bottle of Shilajit gummies and get another bottle free, boosting your energy and stamina like never before. Or double up on methylene blue tincture to supercharge your cognitive focus with this incredible buy one, get one free deal on a top-selling product. Don't miss out on the ultimate CMOS gummies. Also buy one, get one free to support your immune system and overall wellness. Shop now at thealexjonesstore.com and fuel your fight for health while supplies last. This sale is good for this week. So if you're a fan of these products, now is the time to load up with the buy one, get one free bombshell sale. TheAlexJonesStore.com or become a VIP member at TheAlexJonesStore.com/VIP. And we appreciate your continued support. So Trump wants to bring back the Washington Redskins. The last time the Washington Redskins were at the White House, they won the Super Bowl. Ronald Reagan was the president. Sometimes it's nice to just go back in time and remember where we came from. Get a little nostalgia. Ronald Reagan throwing a touchdown pass to Washington Redskins wide receiver. We were all having fun at the time. Of course, I wasn't there. Maybe in spirit, or maybe in a different existence. Here it is, Ronald Reagan, clip 10.
I'm going to give it to the president upon one circumstance that he run the right play. And the play is trips right, fake zoom, Larry crisscross. And he got to throw it.
Come on, monkey.
Where's Ricky Sanders?
Here he comes.
And strike up a man. A different world.
Way to go, Slick.
A different world. Is this new? Oh, my gosh. Is this a new one? Today, Trump back on the Redskins thing. My statement on the Washington Redskins has totally blown up, but only in a very positive way. I may put a restriction on them if they don't change the name back to the original Washington Redskins and get rid of the ridiculous moniker Washington Commanders. I won't make a deal for them to build a stadium in Washington. The team would be much more valuable, and the deal would be much more exciting for everyone. Cleveland should do the same with the Cleveland Indians. The owner of the Cleveland baseball team, Matt Dolan, who is very political, has lost 3 elections in a row because of that ridiculous name change. What he doesn't understand is that if he changed the name back to the Cleveland Indians, he might actually win an election. Indians are being treated very unfairly. We need to make Indians great again. He actually says MEGA again. So we know it's MEGA now. We get it. It's MEGA. We all know it's MEGA now. It's very clear it's MEGA. And we're not talking about Indians or Iran. So thank you for the reminder. Not so subtle. We get it. All right, let's just do a news blitz here. Mike Johnson willing to subpoena Barack Obama to face Congress grilling over Trump-Russia scheme. They have to deliver on this now. They have to deliver on arresting Obama now. I mean, if they don't, the whole MAGA is just completely destroyed. I don't know how, and that's the big thing now, is, oh, see, you should have trusted Trump. See, he was playing the deep state the whole time. He's going to expose and arrest them all. Okay, hey, good. When it happens, I'll be right there. I'll wave the pom-poms with you. Problem is, I've been seeing you claim that for 6 years now. So when that day comes, I'll be jumping for joy and waving the flag just like everybody else. But I'm not going to be a cheerleader for a non-existent phenomenon. So, but now how do you not? After everything you've said now about Obama and now trying to make it the big issue, how do you not bring Obama in? How do you not arrest Obama? You've accused him of treason how many times now? So you already admitted, oh, we let Hillary Clinton off, so you're going to let Obama off too? DOJ fires employee after learning of her marriage to a radical leftist who funded a dangerous anti-ICE crowdsourcing app. Yeah, putting our immigration officers in grave danger. Caroline Feinstein, who is married to ICE block developer Joshua Aaron, revealed to the far left, the Daily Beast, on Monday that the DOJ fired her via email Friday morning. She was working as a forensic accountant for the department before her dismissal. Oh, well, you know, clearly somebody was putting out information about ICE raids. Mm-hmm. I think you found out who it was. How did these leftists know where the ICE raids were happening? How did these leftists know to put out timely information about ICE raids on this app? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think firing goes quite far enough. But see, it's always the same thing. It's always the same thing. Conservatives, right-wingers, Republicans, you will suffer the full extent of the law that the left can impose on you. Full extent. But yeah, oh, Hillary Clinton's crimes, Obama's crimes, hell, even it looks like you've got a person leaking information to an app so that people can do harm to ICE agents. Just let them walk. Just let them walk so they never learn. And it never stops. U.S. exits UNESCO over alleged anti-Israel bias. That's right. That's right. Now, I'm no fan of UNESCO, so hey, fine. Using anti-Semitism for an excuse to get us out of anything, I'm fine with that. Funding Ukraine's war is anti-Semitic. Oh, well, we've got to stop. The United States said today it would quit UNESCO, saying the UN Cultural and Educational Agency is biased against Israel. Very good. Well, so anybody biased against Israel, anybody exposing anti-Semitism, we must completely decouple. We must shut down. So what else do we want to call anti-Semitic, guys, to get some things done? Barack Obama is anti-Semitic. Yeah, Barack Obama is anti-Semitic. Hillary Clinton, anti-Semitic. I mean, just anybody, just say they're anti-Semitic, and this administration might actually take them down. Might be your only hope. War. War is very anti-Semitic, so you're going to have to stop doing that. What else? Unlimited government spending, very anti-Semitic. Very, very, very anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, so we're going to have to stop that. It's very unfortunate it had to be that way. Yeah. This is how it's going to have to be. In fact, I hate to break it to you guys, but we have new information that leads us to believe that the Federal Reserve is anti-Semitic. Going to have to shut it down. We've also heard that anti-Semites are being hidden in Fort Knox right now. They're hiding anti-Semites there. So we're going to have to obviously go into Fort Knox and get those anti-Semites out of there. Yeah, I mean, what else, guys? I mean, this is how we defeat anti-Semitism. This is how it's done. Got to put an end to it. Jerome Powell must quit to save the Fed. prominent economists say the whole thing is just a disaster. It's just the debt is a disaster. The Fed is a disaster. So you can't win. You lower interest rates, there's going to be a problem. You raise interest rates, there's going to be a problem. It's just the whole thing is just a problem. But Trump says Fed Powell will be out in 8 months, insults him again today. Trump forgot that he hired him 8 years ago. He thought Biden hired him. So, you know. Hey, you know what, Trump? Jerome Powell is anti-Semitic. So it's the only way to get rid of him. It's the only way to do it. And here's the ADL CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt. Listen to what he says here, because they're fighting anti-Semitism, too. It's the top issue. And so here he is. It's not going well. Clip two.
So we run surveys every 2 to 3 years, like a sentiment analysis, to try to gauge how the majority population feels about Jewish people. So in this case, we do a domestic survey in the United States. And what I can tell you briefly is that we've been doing these surveys, I should say, since the 1960s. So we have a lot of information, mm-hmm. a lot of longitudinal data. We're a very data-driven, evidence-based organization. And basically, in the last 5 years, elevated anti-Semitic attitudes have more than doubled their share of the population. In 2019, it was 11% of the U.S. population had intense anti-Semitic attitudes. Today, in the last 5 years, it's gone from 11% to 24%. Now, globally, the numbers are even more stark. So when we did our first global survey of 100-plus countries in 2014, and we work with the market research firm Ipsos, mm-hmm. based here in Paris, to do these surveys. In 2014, we found that 26% of adults worldwide had entrenched or extreme anti-Semitic attitudes. 26%. That's more than a billion people. We thought that was a lot. When we ran the survey last year, in 2024, that percentage went from 26% to 46%. 2.2 billion adults and change. And that's based on
interesting, almost... And we'll respond to that. Ted Cruz says they're going to go after the anti-Semitic operation with that Ice Block app. Guys, Feinstein... That's the name of the lady that was fired. Feinstein. So, yeah, all right. That dirty Feinstein and her anti-Semitism with ICE, you know. We got him. You know, the whole thing is so wild. And I got another example right here, and I suppose we can segue into the geopolitical stack, but... I've never seen anything like this in politics before. Usually, politicians will try to do whatever they think is popular with their base. Or if they realize something they're doing or saying is unpopular, they'll at least stop bragging about it or talking about it publicly. It's just like, hey, this is not a good look. On the Israel issue, though, they can't help themselves. So if you want to talk about anti-Semitism and what is the cause, well, it's like if I'm running around here and rude to my crew all day and one of them says, hey, do you think you could be like nicer to us? And I'm like, no, F you. Or like I come in here, they're eating lunch and I'm always, you know, digging into their lunch and they're like, hey, could you stop eating our lunch? And I'm like, no, it's my lunch. You know, they're going to not like me very much. And then if I say, well, gee, why don't they like me? It's because I'm not nice to them. So Congressman Randy Fine, this guy, he's posted so much pro-death stuff that it's unbelievable things he said. But then today, release the hostages and until then, starve away. Because there's a big story right now, you know, the people in the Gaza Strip are all starving. And it's well documented. And he just says, yeah, let them starve. Oh, very nice. Now, regardless of what he says, if you go look at the comments here, folks, I'm talking 100% negative. 100%. I have never seen an issue. I have never seen an issue in politics where 100% of the people don't like what it is you're doing or saying. 100%. And they just keep saying it and keep doing it. I've never seen anything like it in politics. It's like they would either just shut up or they would pivot. And every single, I mean, folks, I'm telling you, 100% negative. And he just keeps saying the same crap. Why is that? And then they, and of course, you know, he wears his yarmulke around Congress and he's got the Israeli flags in his office higher than the American flag. I mean, he lets you know he's a pro-Israel, Israel first Jew. He lets you know that. And then he rubs it in your face and he celebrates death and he says kids should die. And then he'll turn around and say, why is anti-Semitism on the rise? Because you're out here waving an Israeli flag, wearing a yarmulke, celebrating kids dying. Here's the news. We'll get back to that in a second. Engineer pleads guilty to stealing for Chinese government's benefit. Trade secret technology designed for missile launch and detection. A Santa Clara County man and former engineer at Southern California, at a Southern California company, pled guilty today to stealing trade secrets technologies developed for use by the U.S. government to detect nuclear missile launches, track ballistic and hypersonic missiles, and allow U.S. fighter planes to detect and evade heat-seeking missiles. Chang Guang Gong, 59, of San Jose, pleaded guilty to one count of theft of trade secrets. He remains free on a $1.7 million bond. Dual citizen of the United States and China. So, another Chinese spy busted. They're buying up land. Their spies are being arrested left and right. They're trying to bring in bioterrorism. Maybe they're engaging in weather warfare. Meanwhile, this is exactly what I've been saying. Yet another Trump ultimatum falls flat in Moscow. The latest White House demand falls flat. President Trump's 50-day ultimatum, and Russia's already, before the 50 days hit, saying, yeah, no, thank you. Russia rejected Trump's ultimatum. Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rybakov said any attempts to make demands, especially ultimatums, are unacceptable to us. If we cannot achieve our goals through diplomacy, then the war in Ukraine will continue. Telling you, this is not the same Trump from 2016 in the first term. This is not the same Trump that can throw his weight around in the world stage and get his agenda accomplished. It's just not the same Trump. And I think there's two reasons for that. I think now the world has a better concept, a better understanding of how to deal with Trump. But I also think the world has recognized that he's abandoned his base, or his base has abandoned him. So he just doesn't even have the popular support that he once did. So that hurts your power and momentum when it comes to geopolitics. And we're all seeing it. Well, I guess some people are in denial of it, but don't worry. The evidence will continue to stack up, unfortunately. Now back to the Israel story. Israel's chaotic new food program in Gaza has turned so deadly. And, I mean, these stories are insane. The people starving to death. It's like Mad Max over there. And they bring out these aid trucks and everything, and the Israelis are sitting there firing guns into the air, firing guns into the ground. It's just crazy. So now some people that were even kind of soft on the issue or didn't want to get involved, now they're going all in because it's so bad. Vatican hardens tone on Israel after Gaza Paris strike. Finally, the Catholic Church is sick of the Israelis killing Christians and Catholics, so that's good. Top Catholic cleric calls Gaza's humanitarian crisis morally unacceptable. It's exactly what it is. Everything Israel's doing is morally unacceptable. That's what's so disgusting, that they have so much influence and access to this administration. Gaza hospital says 21 children died from malnutrition and starvation in the last 72 hours. Well, yeah, it's like risk your life going to get aid or just die of starvation. Global outcry grows over Israel's killing of starving civilians in Gaza. American man from Oklahoma brutally executed by Syrian-backed jihadis. So this is the Israeli fall of Assad. This is the Israeli operation in Syria to collapse it into, well, they'll expand Israel, but then just put their proxy terrorist in charge of it so they can do what they want. And you have the Israeli operatives like Mark Levin, a totally despicable creature. In December of last year, he was celebrating the fall of Assad, and he admitted it was an Israeli operation. He said, "Assad is done. Thank you, Israel." Okay, so everybody knew that was an Israeli operation to topple Assad. And then, after now the fall of Assad and leading to Christians and a bunch of people being slaughtered, oh, now Levin has a problem. He says, "I just watched a horrific video of a Syrian terrorist cutting the heart out of a Druze civilian as he was alive and defenseless. I'm not going to link it here. It made me sick to my stomach. What's being done to these people is unimaginable. Meanwhile, our envoy, Barak, denounces the Israelis who are the only people trying to protect them." Levin, you celebrated Israel collapsing the Assad regime, and now you're complaining about the results. It's just unbelievable. Israel can do no wrong. That's their entire mindset. Israel can do no wrong. And even when Israel does wrong, it's right. Israel, five-front war, bombing five countries, it's good. Israel topples Assad, it's good. Oh, now Syria is destabilized, and Christians and Jews and everybody, and Muslims, everybody's dying. It's just a total blood fest over there. Well, that's Israel's fault, but, you know, we're not going to mention that. We're not going to bring that up anymore. So people are sick of it, man. They're sick of it. It's part of the reasons why Trump approval rating is so down, specifically amongst the youth. It's part of the reason why anti-Semitism is on the rise. Everybody knows it, but it's not Israel's fault. It's not Israel's fault. It's not them killing 100,000 people probably in the last 2 years. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with people like Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro telling you to put Israel first and celebrating the fall of Assad, but then complaining about the results. It has nothing to do with the ADL, Jonathan Greenblatt, coming after you for free speech. It's you. You're just an anti-Semite. If you don't like Israel killing 50,000 people in the Gaza Strip, you're an anti-Semite. If you don't like Netanyahu lying to you about weapons of mass destruction and convincing the Trump administration to get involved in another war in the Middle East on Israel's behalf, that's your fault. You're an anti-Semite. If you don't like children in Gaza being starved to death, you're an anti-Semite. That's the logic. So people naturally just say, well, I'm definitely not an anti-Semite, but you're just going to keep calling me that, then fine, whatever. Screw you. All right, that does it for today's transmission. We take a 21-hour break, and we'll do it all again tomorrow.
So we had Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, constitutional lawyer, so much more on Paratrooper. And he wanted to try methylene blue like so many other guests have done live on air. I got so busy with all the Iran war stuff and the commies rioting to ever get him to take it on air. All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it, within 45 minutes to an hour, have varying degrees from extreme energy and feeling really great to fog lifting to just over the top crying. It feels so good. Especially the first time you take it. Electrochemical in the mitochondria, cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest ultra methylene blue. But he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended, I forgot to do this. He's like, hey, are we doing methylene blue? So he's going to take it now. But guys, don't forget when he's on Owen, to maybe if he forgets before he's going to go off, to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. I've had like out of 300 plus people we've given it to, two people did not feel it. And that means your mitochondria is in perfect shape. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shut that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it hits within about 30 minutes. It starts peaking after a couple hours. But you're going to be on Owen. So please, before you go, just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later. I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project, and I was pretty efficient in sleep. Yeah, right. I'm feeling pretty good.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
That's good. Well, that's probably, I don't know, that might be because you're hanging out with me. So we gotta maybe try to get.
I think it's about the wing blue.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.